Hello, everyone, and welcome to another session of the Great American Senior Show. I'm your gray-haired host, Sam Yates. Previously, we were in Brevard County and had in the studio Tim Timmerman of the Brevard Alzheimer's Foundation. And we touched upon many areas, and in particular, we were getting into adult daycare, Joe's Club, as it's called, and it's a wonderful program. All you have to do is Google Joe's Club, and the information will come up, and you'll see that this is not just an adult daycare with an Alzheimer's focus. It is something that really sets the standard for this type of daycare. And Tim, I'd like for you to give us an explanation, go into some further detail about Joe's Club. How long has it been around? How did it start? Let's lay a little bit of a historical perspective.
Well, there is a Joe. Very importantly, Joe Steckler, he had a vision. He was in the VA program back for his military career, and he had a vision that the memory care clinics of the VA really weren't as strong as they could be. So he went out and raised some money for a adult daycare or for some memory care. Ironically, my grandmother was one of the first people that he recruited. That she had a trauma, a car accident in the late 70s, and in the mid-80s, when she started showing some cognitive impairment, they just said, oh, you were in a car accident. That happens to everybody. It took about 4 or 5 years for her doctors to agree that this was an Alzheimer's diagnosis. So Alzheimer's has been in my family for many, many years. So in the late 80s, as Joe Steckler was kind of getting his stuff in order, getting the funding and getting the wonderfulness of his vision, is that he was at a church, and she was one of the invitees to be, I guess, part of like a pilot program. She never made it to the pilot program. She progressed a little too quickly. But my grandmother would call me Tim, Tom, Mitchell, Michael, or Matt, and we never knew who Mitchell was. We knew everybody else in that list. But the funny thing was is that Alzheimer's today is actually a lot different. I can walk into my daycare where we have 35 people sitting right now, and everybody knows my name. And that's because of what you're going to hear a little bit about these treatments. There's no treatment, there's no cure, there's no prevention, but there's progress. And today you're going to hear a lot about the progress. So Joe's Club is a safe place for people who would be a wander risk, people who would be forgetful to take their medications, people who maybe just don't want to be alone at home while their family and caregivers do their day. We have a very good group of people. It's everything from professionals. We've had astronauts. We've had political elected officials here. It's a disease with no barriers, you know. So it's a really it's a sad place to when you walk in there, but when you see how wonderful the CNAs are and our nursing staff is, that the sadness kind of goes away. That you see the smile in their eye. These are their friends. Many people think they're at work. It's a really, you know, wonderful place to spend the day, and it takes all the sadness of the disease away from it.
It sounds like you have some high standards that you maintain, but what are the standards for getting into the program? Are there age standards or other criteria?
No, actually, we've had some people in their 30s who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But pretty much the standard is are you a risk alone? That would be, you know, wander risk is number one. And unfortunately, people don't choose daycare until the second crisis happens. The first crisis will happen. A dad wakes up in the middle of the night. He wanders the neighborhood. Oh, dad just had a bad day. Second time he does it, well, maybe this is going to happen a little more often. Maybe we need to call our doctor and tell our doctor what, you know, dad's doing this. And we start seeing people at the second crisis. We try to go to the doctors to do our outreach, to teach the community to don't wait for that second crisis. The second crisis could be a life-threatening crisis. People with Alzheimer's tend to gravitate to water. And many times when an Alzheimer's patient elopes from their home or even from one of our facilities, is that we go right to the water. You know, we go to either Walmart or we go to the water. Those are the two places where our clients seem to gravitate to.
You have some wonderful programs here from just the brief stay that we've been able to take a look at the facilities and hear what you have to say, everything costs money. How do you manage to fund the wonderful things that you're doing?
Well, exactly. We are a foundation. So our core business is Joe's Club, but we also have a transportation, a non-emergency medical transportation where we bring people to doctor visits. We have an energy assistance program. We have an at-home program. But the question is, how do we pay for all that? And the thing is that it used to be corporate donations. It used to be state funding. It used to be a lot of things. Individuals now are really been stepping up, and we're getting a lot more individual donation money. Yes, we're still getting a whole lot of county money, a whole lot of state money, a whole lot of Medicaid money, a whole lot of VA money, but all the money in the world, it just is never enough until those individual donations come in. And this isn't a sales pitch for one at all, but we've seen an uptick in our individual donations in the last 3 years.
Well, I'm not shy about making the sales pitch myself, so if anyone is interested in helping out, please reach out to Tim here at the Brevard Alzheimer's Foundation. Once you see where the dollars and how the dollars are being spent, it is an investment. And you're probably saying, well, an investment, Sam? What are you talking about? It's an investment in humanity. We are all human beings, and helping your fellow human being is an investment that you carry with you for the rest of your life. So, Tim, I'm giving the plug again. Where may they contact, and how may they contact you?
BrevardALZ.org is our website. Also, Brevard Alzheimer's Foundation on Facebook or Instagram. But our website is a treasure trove for information. Part of the foundation's mission is education, and dementia-friendly Brevard is something that we do to go out to businesses. We actually have a training site where anyone can become a dementia-friendly business through our training. We have all of our caregiver training on there, our health professional training, and that's at no cost at all to the students. That's all sponsored through corporate donations. And at any one time, we have people printing certificates out and printing that they're a caregiver and they're now a certified dementia. So we have some really good things on our website that is informational and training based as well.
And I have to say that I went through that training recently and have the certificate hanging on my wall. I think it's good for about 6 years, I recall that certificate. And it is something that I encourage everyone to do because it gives you an awareness of what this disease is. And as you mentioned, it is not curable, but it is hope that we can all have. You caught my attention recently, and I have to say that I spent a good amount of money attempting to win a 440 vehicle, and I'll let you describe the scenario there. But it's a classic muscle car. And unfortunately, as you can see, I'm not driving it today, so I didn't win. But give us a description of that, and I'll come back to the reason why that is important.
Unfortunately, we sometimes have to have a gimmick. And some of our gimmicks, we have two gimmicks that seem to do really well for us. We hold a car raffle every year, and our embedded base of donors is a Mopar base, a Chrysler Dodge base of donors. We kind of inherited this by always having our first three cars were Mopars. So last year we had a gorgeous Moulin Rouge, which is pink, but you can't say pink to car people, a Moulin Rouge Cuda, and we raised over $400,000 selling raffle tickets for that and selling sponsorships for that. We have a party at the end of the year. We do everything in-house. Every dollar sent to donate, it goes to us. There's not a marketing company that skims off the top. So that's our big fundraiser. We also, for the first time last year, had a ball drop. People love watching helicopter balls fall out of helicopters. And we literally raised $30,000 in 3 weeks of effort. And it was the ROI on that was phenomenal. And hopefully, you know, we have about 3,000 donors each year for the car. We had about 1,000 donors for the ball drop. And we're only going up on that. My goal this year is $500,000. We have a 70 Super B Dodge Orange or Hemi Orange. It's a gorgeous car. And that website, I will plug that website, is alzbbq.com.
I could not attend the barbecue, and my wife says, because I couldn't attend the barbecue, that's why I didn't win, because I needed that karma to be there. So when the drawing is going to happen, I definitely will be there, because those are fantastic autos. And I think you hit upon something that that I wanted to come back to, and that is the gimmick. And sometimes people reach the deepest into their pockets when they have another secondary cause. And I think that's very, very important. So, kudos to you for doing that. And we look forward to it.
It boils down to every ticket is $25. And every $25, I can give a day of care for a person with Alzheimer's in my facility. So when you do $100 for 10 tickets or whatever the promotion is at the time, you're giving 4 days of care of food, of entertainment, nutrition, fun with friends. So this money is going directly into the Joe's Club. Into Joe's Club, for what we need, where we need it the most.
And I'll give another cross plug, because after I got my tickets in the mail, and I would say it was less than 2 weeks later, there came another packet, and it's like, here's your next group of tickets that you too can be a winner. And it was persuasive. So whoever is doing that is doing an awesome job. I sent another donation back in with a second batch, so it works quite well.
26 years of practice is what that is.
Good for you. The Foundation has an awesome board of directors, and I know one of the board of directors who is going to be a guest on our program here, because he's a former Air Force colonel, and he and I go back quite a number of years to my years in television, where I covered many research-oriented topics, including the Skunk Works, and those who are into aviation will know what I'm talking about, and also including some of those dark projects that are not technically funded, but may need an Air Force flight engineer to validate the flight programs and actually fly the aircraft. So I won't say who that is, because he's going to be a special guest on the program, but kudos to your board. How do you get that talent to your board of directors?
Brevard County is very diverse. We have a good combination of major corporations. We have NASA, we have L3 Harris, Northrop Grumman, but we also have a lot of mom and pop. But more importantly, we also have the Air Force base, which brings a lot of retirees. So the gentleman you're talking about is we get a lot of talent from the retired officers and enlistment from over at Patrick Air Force Base. But we kind of have a good balance of major industry, big business type of people, and we have a really good balance of the mom and pop, and we have what we need the most, and what our board is really kind of directing toward is industry people. Is that when before Alzheimer's first started, it was started by Joe Steckler, who was a commander in the Navy, and he brought a lot of his military friends. And military friends are all business, so our first couple of generations of the board were very business-oriented. Is that, yes, we are a charity, but first we're a business. In the past couple of years, now that the business model is pretty solid, we've been moving our board to health industry professionals, and that's really benefiting us, because they're in the community, they know what their business needs, and they know how we can help us.
Good point that you make, that not-for-profits are businesses. And I think a lot of people fail to realize that. Just because it may say X organization is a not-for-profit, that doesn't mean you're not a business. So kudos to you on how you're handling that.
Thank you.
Let's switch gears. Earlier we talked about some of the new protocols that are coming out on treatment for Alzheimer's. I have a special guest that is here in the studio with us, and I'm going to let her do the introduction, because she is a bit of an expert on what is the latest that's happening in the world of Alzheimer drugs and treatments.
Yes, hello everybody. I'm Deidre Schubert, the Director of Education and Outreach for the Brevard Alzheimer's Foundation, and we have hot off the press news as of June 7th, aducanumab, the first FDA-approved drug that actually delays the progression of Alzheimer's, has been approved by the FDA. So hot off the press to you all. This is a life-changing treatment that brings a lot of hope to our families out there.
The approval by the FDA, how long does that mean before it could be seen in use here in Brevard County?
Now that it's been FDA approved, it's gone through the three phases of clinical research to get FDA approved, so it can go out to mass marketing. Matter of months, maybe a year or two at the latest, but this is definitely a lot closer than we've been in 20 years.
What will that mean, Tim or Deidre, for your Alzheimer's patients, your clients here in Brevard County? Deidre?
So aducanumab is a disease-modifying treatment, which is different than what's out on the market now. Out on the market for the past 20 years are what we call symptomatic medications. So essentially, they're working on the symptoms of memory loss. This drug, being that it is disease-modifying, so it is actually going after the plaques in the brain, which is a hallmark sign of Alzheimer's. So it is geared towards people that are newly diagnosed or people that have mild cognitive impairment or mild Alzheimer's. So this gives hope to, again, those that are newly diagnosed, and it gives hope to those family members that have maybe watched their loved ones go through all the stages of Alzheimer's. This is a big win for all of us in the world of Alzheimer's and dementia.
One of the things that I see happening then is that potentially people are under your care for a longer period of time. Is that an indicator that we should right now begin to generate more dollars to take care of those who will be under treatment with this revolutionary drug?
I'd like to put a little plug in for Joe's Club is that the average client in daycare is about 24 months. When they come to Joe's Club, they have an average of 6 years of staying at Joe's Club. And in the past, when there was a pharmacology solution, it was, let's just drug them up and make them tired. Let's just dumb them down to make them less stimulating. So this is what makes this, you know, such a wonderful hope, is that this isn't the solution, just give the kid the Benadryl to put him to sleep. You know, this is hope.
And yeah, just like Tim said, you know, this isn't just putting a Band-Aid on it, making people sleepy. So yes, it could prolong the time that our members are here at Joe's Club, but also it can prolong their time at home.
Excellent point.
This medication, it's delaying the progression of Alzheimer's. It's delaying the different progressions through the memory changes. And so the longer that somebody can be at home, the better. The longer that they're with their families, enjoying the activities they love. That is why this is such a hallmark win for all of us.
As we wrap the program up, I want to turn to both of you, Deidre and Tim, and ask a question that we have not even talked about, but I would imagine it is something that you feel in your hearts. And the question is, what does your job mean? What does it do for you as an individual when you see those who have Alzheimer's here receiving treatment? How does that make you feel, and what does that do for you as a caring human being?
Well, I'm going to try not to get emotional because I am pregnant and hormones, we'll blame it on that. This is hope. I mean, this 1,000% is hope for those that in the real world have no hope. You know, when somebody gets that diagnosis of Alzheimer's, it's a death sentence, essentially. And so this gives hope. This gives options. There are other options out there besides just packing up and ending out the rest of your days. So this is amazing. It is hope.
Tim?
I'll go back one step, is that what Joe's Club means to me is when I get to talk to the caregivers as they drop off their loved ones to spend the day, is I hear the stories. And the stories are, they're frustrated, they're burned out. People move across the country to come to Joe's Club. We have three people in our care right now that chose to live in Brevard County because they've heard of Joe's Club. My grandmother, all through middle school and high school, I would visit her every day. I was never the same person. She knew I was in her life, but I could have been the pool boy. She didn't know I was her grandson. And I came here to volunteer on her 90th birthday, and I haven't left. Well, it would have been her 90th birthday. On her, what would have been her 100th birthday, the day before, I was named executive director. So it took me 10 years to go through the corporate ladder here. And what I think about every day is I'm the voice of these people, is that they don't have the voice. If they're home and someone's not treating them well, or if someone in the community is not treating them well, they have no voice for themselves. And we need to, our staff here at Joe's Club needs to identify, you know, that we are them. You know, we're helping them as much as we can. And I make sure that staff knows that and remembers that. And that's what it means to me, is that I see similarities in a lot of this with the burnout, but every story is different, and everyone has such a horrible story with Alzheimer's.
We are all aging. Today, I'm wearing a purple ribbon because I had a speaking engagement this morning on World Elderly Abuse Awareness Day, and that is something, in addition to Alzheimer's, you're extremely involved in.
Yes, the foundation is a partner with the county, with Department of Children and Families, with the Aging Commission, and the Senior Triad. We hold an event. This is the first year we're going to have a 5K and a memory stroll, but we usually hold an event under a roof, and you come stroll our tables, and you learn about the different services in our county. This year we're going to have a drive-through, and we're looking forward to it. We're expecting a couple thousand people to come, and they're coming for the goodies, I'll be honest with you. They're coming for the water bottles and the T-shirts, but there's going to be a lot of good information and a lot of services that people just don't know are out there.
And I have to put in a plug for VIP America, a nurse registry, because they help underwrite this program, the Great American Senior Show. They're going to be participating right there alongside with you for this particular event. And they are also actively involved in our communities for helping to keep our seniors safe at home. So I must give them a little plug here as well today. Deidre, Tim, I want to thank both of you for being here in studio for the Great American Senior Show. And a little future programming note that we take a look at all topics that are of interest and likely to be something that can be talked about in the senior arena. And one that we are going to take a look at for the future, and I want to begin mentioning it now, is because I'd like to get feedback. Seniors, more than ever before, are more active sexually, and in some cases that can lead to abuse. So we're taking a look at a sensitive topic, seniors and sex. So as you're listening right now, if you would like to contribute a question, we have a number of authors lined up who are going to talk about this. Whether it be abuse or personal side of that, we would like to have your questions, and please submit them to us, and we will make sure that we take a look at them. I'm Sam Yates, your gray-haired senior host for the Great American Senior Show podcast, and that's the way our show ends.